Good evening. Our opening scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 14 to 18. Alright, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your word. And Lord, thank you for the rain, Lord, that you bless the earth with it. Father, help me as I give this message to speak clearly, Lord, and I pray that the people would receive from it the truths that you have for them, Lord, and help everyone in their hearts to purpose to do what you say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight's message is entitled, God is a Separatist. We at Coastline owe our confidence in the doctrine we have to the practice of separation. When we, Kirsty and myself, came out of the apostate church that we were in and came to Coastline, it was manifest that God had answered our prayer. That was a prayer for a place where God's truth would be exalted, not man's ideas. The Lord made it clear to us through His Word that if we were going to start attending this church, we were going to have less and less in common with any Tom, Dick and Harry who professed themselves to be Christians without any evidence. It meant we would have to articulate our stance on more and more biblical issues. It meant earnest study. But there is simplicity in separation. The Lord hasn't made it confusing. The simplicity is simply this. First, as individuals, we separate from anyone who isn't in unity with us. That might seem a little bit obvious. The question is then, who are we in unity with? Anyone who knows the Word of God, who reads it, who loves it, and who obeys it. That's it. It's as simple as that. The Bible states in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Choosing a stance will automatically preclude cooperation or communion with anyone of a different opinion. The Bible is very black and white. It is not meant to be open to interpretation, though many will try. If you agree with it, you are in unity with the brethren and are joined in the body of Christian believers. Our union with other believers in sound doctrine couldn't be more intimate. It is described in the Bible as akin to the wholeness of a human body, each part, each member indispensable. We'll read of this picture in Ephesians 4:13-16. Ephesians 4:13-16. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, error, in contrast, is called a canker in Scripture. This is 2 Timothy 2:17. It refers to it as this. It attacks the health of the body from within. So it undermines the very glue that binds us all together. That's the truth of Scripture that we all hold the verity of truth to be true. So God joins his saints together if they are to be of the same mind, the mind of Christ. He gathers his sheep into the one fold. He brings all of his children together. But God has always been in the business of separation. If you turn with me to Exodus 19:5, a scripture we should all be pretty familiar with by this point. That's Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. The Lord separated the Israelites unto himself, with the caveat that they would obey his word, they would possess it and claim it for themselves. The Lord makes distinctions, he puts things into categories. In the creation account of Genesis, God's second act after creating light was to separate it from darkness. And then again, he did it with the waters to give form to the sky and the oceans. And again, he made two categories of people, male and female, one or the other. In the last days, we see more and more of the perversion of man to twist these clear categories, men calling themselves women, women calling themselves men, and so on. Praise the Lord that he has given us his word to know the truth, and we don't buy into this tampering with God-ordained structures. We can expect to be set apart from anyone who holds the doctrines of man, whether they call themselves Christians or not. The Lord described himself, his words, as a divisive force. After all, Matthew 10:34-36 is our next scripture. This is the Lord likening his word to a sword. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Our allegiance to Christ supersedes all others. The Lord Jesus brings a sword, contention. Even family ties ought to take a back seat to our love of Christ. No other believer who claims to hold the Bible as true and cares about it is going to contradict anything you say about the word. And a believer in a family, if those family are unsaved, is going to be indistinguishable from those unsaved family members. They will be different, and the spirits which occupy the believer and the unbeliever, that is Christ or Satan respectively, are enemies. They are hostile and cannot coexist. We're going to look at a picture of the word's power to separate. Our first scripture is Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we'll compare this now to a description of Christ upon his return to judge the world in Revelations 19:15. So keeping that image of the word of God as a sword, Revelations 19:15. This is a description of the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. The sword coming from Jesus' mouth is his holy word, which has the power to destroy his enemies. This same sword is the only offensive weapon of the Christian, which we can proclaim when we combat the spiritual forces of darkness at work in the world. This way we separate ourselves from it. We mark the good from the evil, truth from error, loyalty from compromise. I want to encourage you with one final scripture on the effectiveness of God's word in overcoming evil in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have the sword of God to combat evil in our lives and in the world, Lord, that we can tell the difference between good and evil because of your word, Lord, and we don't have to rely on our feelings or the opinions of man. Father, we pray that you would give us courage to wield this sword, Lord, and to proclaim it in the world. Father, bless and protect everyone as we go out into the world, Lord, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.